Good morning. Good to see you this morning. And a lot of things have changed since 1983. I still look good, though. But, and it's not too often that I get to speak on a Sunday morning when our pastor's still here. Usually I get that privilege when he's gone somewhere else, he's speaking somewhere else or at a conference or something. So it's going to be a little different this morning for that also. But let's just open with a word of prayer. Father, we're so grateful to be here this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the opportunities that we have at just gathering in this country freely. Father, just to hear your word. Father, we gather just able to sing your praises. Father, we gather that we could just honor you and worship you this morning. I just pray that as we look into your word, I just pray that you open our hearts and our minds just to hear from you this morning. Just challenge us in every aspect of our life. And this we ask. Amen. Just like to welcome those that are joining us this morning that aren't here at home this morning. Good to have you here also. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's great to be with other Christians worshiping. Last week, Pastor Ben touched on some of the kings of Israel. One of the ones that he mentioned was Hezekiah, one of the probably the greatest kings ever that Israel had. One of the most faithful and one of the ones that followed God the most. And so reading from 2 Kings this morning, chapter 19, verse 32, says, "Therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter the city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it and shield, or build or a siege ramp against it. By the way, he came, he will return. He will not enter the city, declares the Lord. I will defend the city and save it for my sake, and for the sake of David, my servant." A little bit about King Hezekiah. At the time, he had become king. He was 25 years old when he came in. He was a very young king. Interesting that some of the kings that they had back in Israel, they started when they were really young. Actually, a lot of those countries back had young kings, and you look at our leaders today, and they're getting up into the 80s where we're making them leaders of the country. Maybe there's something for youth. But here we have in this chapter of 2 Kings 19 a lot about Hezekiah and probably some of the greatest miracles that took place in the Bible. The mighty Assyrian army was setting out. It was destroying nation after nation. It was marching through Israel, capturing one city after another. And now it had landed at the city of Israel. And King Hezekiah had faith, that the Bible says, like no other king before him except for King David. In response to King Hezekiah's prayers to God, because of his faithfulness to God, because of his life that he lived, Isaiah came, the prophet at the time, and prophesied to King Hezekiah, saying, "The Lord will protect you. It will protect Jerusalem, and it will judge the Assyrians." From Hezekiah's faithful example, there's several things that God reveals, or that offered him, but he offers the faithful believers today to each one of us. And these things are guidance. He offers us encouragement. He offers us protection, deliverance, answer to prayers, restoration, and forgiveness. These are the same things that every believer God has given us or honored us with. A great chapter in the Bible shows the blessings to those that have chosen God and made him as their Lord and been faithful in their life. Hezekiah's name means strengthened by God. Well, he was, like I mentioned, he was 25 years old. He reigned roughly from 726. His father, Ahaz, was probably one of the worst kings Israel ever had. Hezekiah, when he started at a young age, he was zealous, it said. He first of all reopened the temple in Jerusalem. He sanctified all the vessels within it. And he described at that point that he reinstated the Levitical priesthood. He brought the priests back, got them to sanctify their life. He restored proper worship to Israel. And he also brought back, this is when the Passover once again came back into as a national holiday for Israel. But he didn't stop there. It says he continued throughout the land, destroying all the idols that the people had started to worship. And along with any of the pagan worship, he started to remove that from the country. And at this time, while he was doing all of this, the Assyrian army was marching through his country, capturing one place after another. And so he wasn't faced with just getting the country back together and getting everybody back on track, but he was also preparing for war with Assyria. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 3 and 8. It states, he was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother named Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake that Moses had made, for at the time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judea, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept his commands and the Lord had given Moses. And the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. When you look at his life, what was different between Ahaz and Hezekiah? What brought about his success? What brought about his faithfulness? We find that, first of all, he made a decision. He said he started at a very early age that he was going to follow God. He wasn't going to continue on with his lifestyle that he had with his father, but he had made a choice. The decision was that he was going to do everything that God had required of him. Second, he was, because of his doing, it said, and it says he did. It says that King Hezekiah didn't just make plans. He didn't just make a bunch of suggestions. He didn't put it to referendum what was going to happen, but it says he actually went out and did. He cleaned the country up. And a story came up the other day, and it was about a man that came home after work one day, and when he got home, he got into the yard, and the kids are outside, still in their pajamas, playing in the mud. He said there was clothes strewn across the yard, toys everywhere, and walks into the house, and it was even in worse shambles. He said there was dirt all the way through the house, there was dishes were still on the table, kids' toys were out, clothes were out, everything. It was a mess. So then he started to worry and panic, wondering where his wife was. So he said he went upstairs, and he found his wife in bed. And she goes, oh, hi, dear, how are you doing? And how was your day? And so he looks at her bewildered and says, hey, what happened? And she said, well, every day you come home, you ask what I did today. Well, today I didn't. And so great intentions are noble, but unless we get to doing something, nothing will take place. He was also very successful in his deeds. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, not in the sight of man. Can you imagine what our world would be like today if everybody did what was right in the sight of the Lord? Today we live in an age, and like I mentioned earlier, 83 was a long time ago. Life was way different back then. Now it seems that no matter who you are or where you're from, everybody's sort of doing what's right in their own eyes. And it's what they're classing as normal. But it would be beautiful if we could get to a point where we did what was right in God's eyes. A store owner, a young boy had broken his window in the store. He was a little frustrated, a little angry at it. And he thought he was going to get back at this kid. That Sunday he went to church and the pastor was talking on bitterness and love. And so the guy at that point realized his whole attitude is wrong, everything was wrong. And so he set out to find a boy. He forgave the boy. And it says that he carried on. He sent him off to camp, Christian camp. The boy got saved. And I asked the question, what are our good deeds in our life? What are we known for? What do people recognize in us? Hezekiah was also successful because of his destroying. He set out to destroy all the idols, all the pagan worship that was in his country. He knew he had to get rid of that. In other words, he was taking care of the sin. He was making a stand against it and removing it from the country. And it's not enough for us just to get fired up over God, but we need to deal with the sin in our own lives. We need to clarify and be righteous before God. We need to be clean before Him. Revival, restoration, has to be much more than an intense emotional experience, but it needs to be a transforming experience in each one of our lives. Revival deals with our past during our present. And it begins to tear down the places that we have placed up or dedicated our lives to that are contrary to God. We need to remove those things. He was also successful for his desire. Hezekiah decided early in his life, to trust in God. And this is remarkable in the light of the lifestyle that he was raised in, with his father being so evil, corrupt. And Hezekiah blamed nobody for where he was at or what was happening in his life, because he had a trust in God, not in others. He didn't trust in his army. He didn't trust in his people. He didn't trust in his soldiers. He trusted in God. Saw a survey just recently, and it was on the millennials and generation of the millennials. And it was talking about the lack of faith. And they said that the survey found that nearly half of the millennials today don't believe, don't care whether, that God exists. There's a decline in this present generation. The survey found that only 16% of millennials can be classified as born-again Christians. Far contrast, they said, from the 55 and older, where 40% can be classed as born-again. And even further, another contrast is 26 between the Gen Xers. Our country seems to be in a decline of people that are serving God and following God. Hezekiah was also successful because of his devotion. Hezekiah took time to pray. He took time to seek God's face. He took time to seek direction from God. And at that time, God spoke through the Isaiah, the prophet who was with him, and he would listen to Isaiah, what he had to say. He would follow the direction that God was giving him. He was devoted to God and the task that was set before him. Our attitude should be the same. We need to be devoted to God and the things that we face, everything that we do in each day, every moment of the day. He was also successful because of his determination. We have the idea that sometimes life is easy. We carry on. We serve our God. We're going to be prosperous. The king was prosperous, but he also faced an army that was coming after his city, coming after his people. And it talks about there's being several hundred thousand soldiers surrounding their city. And in those days, they didn't have long-range weapons, so they were close. They could taunt you, and I guess they were taunting them. So he was faced with not only trying to clean up the country, but he was also faced with a country that another country that wanted to come and destroy them. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things, that in you you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." He was determined to follow God. Jesus also told us in John that the world would have tribulation. And it's a spiritual truth. Where there's struggles, we run into things all the time that seem to baffle us or bog us down. But God is there, and he wants us to have success in life. He wants us to be faithful to him, and he wants us to call upon him during those times. Hezekiah was a prime example to us how we should be living our lives. Do we follow these same examples that he did? Do we put those things as a priority in our life and make the changes that we need to in our life? As a man of God, Hezekiah obeyed the Lord in everything he did. He listened to the counsel of Isaiah, and the wisdom of God was the best way to choose. Hezekiah was a prime example to show us that your past does not determine your future. Hezekiah was 13th king of Judea, and probably began his reign, 728 BC. 200 years prior to that, Solomon built the temple. He dedicated the temple to God. Following kings, Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, came along and undid everything that Solomon had set up. Hezekiah was the son of the worst king of Israel. It says that Ahaz ruled for over 16 years, but in that short time, he was able to desecrate the temple. He stomped out all worship of Jehovah and set up idols throughout the country. It says King in 2 Chronicles 28:3, it says King Ahaz participated in all practices of surrounding nations, including the human sacrifice. Verse 28:3 says that he sacrificed his own children in idolatrous fires. Ahaz was so corrupt that when he passed, they didn't even bury him with the rest of the kings of Israel. 2 Chronicles 28:19, Scripture sums up his life by saying, he gave himself over to every kind of wickedness. In stark contrast, in 2 Chronicles 29:2, it says to Hezekiah, he says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. just as his father David had done. How did a dad like Ahaz produce a son like Hezekiah? His name means Lord is my strength. Evidently, from a young age, Hezekiah chose to reject the things that he was taught when he was growing up. He chose to reject the paganism. He chose to serve God. There's an important lesson here. Hezekiah's family heritage was about as bad as it gets. But his background didn't determine where he ended up. It didn't determine where he led the country. Revelation 22:17 says, "Whosoever will may come to the Lord." In this case, Ahaz was not willing. Hezekiah was. And very few people come from a perfect family. Actually, nobody does. But our past doesn't have to dictate what our future looks like or what our life is going to look like today or tomorrow. When it comes to following Jesus, the choice is to follow God or not to follow. The choice is yours. It's free. The invitation is to follow him. You choose to follow God. He can set you free. He can give you the freedom that you need or that you're looking for. You can cast out the past. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us persevere in the race." If your life has gotten clogged down or bogged down, too many commitments, too many pointless activities, things that are contrary to God's choice for your life, it's time to clean this house. You may have a lot of baggage to get rid of, but it might not happen overnight. But God can clean you from that. God can purify your life. For the Levites, when they cleaned the temple, it says in 2 Kings that all the Levites got, the priests all got together, they cleaned the temple. It said, working day and night, it took them 16 days to clean out the garbage. 2 Chronicles 29, it talks, God reveals blessings in finding your spiritual renewal. These are things that include, number one, having faith, or changing your sinful ways, repenting of your sins, obeying God's word, Jesus, and accepting Jesus' atoning sacrifice. And finally, thanksgiving for grace and mercy that God has given us. These are the things, the kinds, circumstances that cause people to think, well, I've messed up too much. God can't forgive me. I've gone too far the other way. We serve a God that gives us second chances, and it's a good thing, and a lot more than second chances. God is faithful to continue to love us regardless of what we've done, where we've been, or where we come from. God doesn't look at that. God doesn't hold that. God just accepts you for who you are and is able to clean that from your life. When it comes to having a good, satisfying life, the best thing we can do is to follow God. Follow his word. Read his word. It's never too late for restoration. And Hezekiah's story shows that God, it's never too late for a nation that had totally turned. God restored them. The truth is that as long as you still have a breath, you can accept God's salvation. You can accept his will. It's never too late. Israel had completely turned from God. Under Hezekiah's leadership, they heard the word of God, the temple. They were able to get back and worship God. They were restored. Just as Hezekiah cleaned the temple, make sure we do ours. Make sure we look at our life, and there's things that we probably need to put aside. That's why we have a need for the power of the word of God. Jesus defeated Satan when he came and tempted him just by quoting scripture to him. Remember, the Bible tells us, he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. We can overcome any of our past. We can overcome any situation. We can overcome any problem. And that's why we even have the need for the church. We gather here. This is not a social club. It's not a gathering of community political organization. It's not an activist group. We're a group of believers. We're all in the same, on the same planet. I'll say the same boat. We all our goal is to serve God, to follow God. We all run into issues at times that literally bog us down, change our life. Lives change. But I know as a family, as we learn to lean on one another. We could learn to trust each other. We could learn to be encouraged by others. We could be strengthened by others. We're here for each other. We're here to pray for each other. We're here to watch our backs. We're here to encourage. So let me encourage you this morning and ask the question, are you living a faithful life for God? Are you taking all the steps that are needed? Are you following after Hezekiah's example in Scripture to fulfill those things in your life? And I'm going to ask the music team to come back up. And as they're coming, there's a number of things that have taken place in the church. One of them is prayer. We have a sign up at the back one day a month. You can sign up just for prayer. We also have morning prayer here at the church. Thursday morning, they have prayer and fasting. Saturday evening, there's prayer here at the church just to pray for the church, pray for the people in the church. I know they go around and pray for every pew. So wherever you're sitting, someone's prayed over that, just that God would be with you today and throughout this week. And so it's not by, I'm not going to say it's not by fluke that these things are happening. For restoration and revival to happen, people have to get hungry for God's word. And it's when we start to hear God's word and apply it to our life and put it in our life that things begin to change. The things of this world seem to fade away. They seem to go because God is able to take all of those things and use them. God responded to Hezekiah in two of his prayers. One of them was, the passage I wrote, was that at the time, the Assyrian armies had basically surrounded Israel, the city of Jerusalem. And we're talking hundreds of thousands of people. And they're close enough. They have long range weapons, so they're close enough. And I'm surprised there wasn't a few kids on the wall shooting slingshots at them, trying to mean a few. But this is what Hezekiah was facing at the time. And it says his commanders came to him and gave him a letter. They said, this is what Assyria is saying. They're saying that you are a poor king because you're choosing to follow God. Your God cannot save you. We are going to destroy you. We're going to overrun you. And Hezekiah says he took the letter and he gave instructions to his commanders. He said, do not respond to their jeering. Do not respond to them. And he took that letter and he went and put it before the Lord and said, God, this is what is happening in our city. And it was probably more of an attack, or Isaiah, the way he put it, was more of an attack on God. That they were saying that you do not have the power to save this city. And so Hezekiah just put it into God's hand. And it said that night an angel came and killed 185,000 Assyrians. At that point, of course, the Assyrian army packed up and left. And then a lesson we can learn here from is that if you're feeling oppressed, if you are oppressed, whatever it is, you're feeling under bondage or whatever it is, don't respond to it. Bring it to the altar. God wants to deal with it. Let God deal with it. We take on a lot more than we ever need to. Second request, or the second prayer that Hezekiah prayed was for his life. At that time, while all of this was happening, Isaiah came to him, and Hezekiah was sick, and Isaiah came to him and said, God said that you need to get your life in order. Your time has come. You're going to pass. And Hezekiah, at that, he turned to God. He asked God and said, is there any chance that you could extend my life? And it said God heard his prayer and responded. Gave Hezekiah another 15 years. We serve a very powerful God. We serve a God that loves and cares for us, wants us to succeed, wants us to enjoy life, and it is up to us to turn those things over to God and allow God to work in our lives and give us that success, give us that hope, give us that freedom that we need. And so whatever it is this morning, we always have a prayer team up front here. I encourage you to come on up and pray. Someone will come and pray with you. Or if you just want to gather at the altar, I know every one of us has a need. Everyone in this congregation has a need of some shape or form. God wants to respond to that. I think as we look at our town, look at our community, God wants to restore his word in his community. God wants to have a revival in his community. And it's going to begin with us getting our life together. So let me encourage you this morning that as Hezekiah came from an incredibly harsh background, was able to turn his country back and allow God to bless him. God wants us to have those same blessings. It's the same God. He still loves us as much as he loved Hezekiah. And so let me encourage you this morning as we surrender our lives to God. Let's remain faithful. And let me encourage you to continue to pray. Things don't happen. They didn't cleanse the temple in one day. It took time. It may take a bit of wrestling with God over your requests and your prayer, but keep at it. Keep calling upon God. Keep seeking him. God bless you.